Author James Scott has written a stunning debut novel, but it may not be for the faint of heart. The Kept is set in 1897. Elspeth is walking home after working away as a midwife for several months. Instantly, we feel the barren beauty and danger of winter in upstate New York.
She crested the last rise. The house nestled in the bosom of the hill. The small plateau seemed made for them, chiseled by God for their security, to hold them like a perfect secret. She held her breath, hoping for some hint of life, and heard nothing but the far-off snap of a branch. Everything stood still. She could not make out the smoke from the chimney, and despite the late hour, no lamp shone in the windows. Elspeth began to run. She tripped, and her pack shoved her into the snow. Clawing with her hands, digging with her feet, she pushed herself upright and rushed towards home.
Elspeth sees a carcass outside the house. Might it be a bear? No, it's one of her daughters. Her husband and three more of their children are also shot dead. And just when you think it can't get more horrific, her remaining son, 12-year-old Caleb, shoots her, mistaking her for the killers. And just when you think your heart will break for her, you learn she kidnapped and kept all of the children from the very women she was supposed to be helping to deliver them. Caleb doesn't know this, and with his recovering mom, sets off to find the murderers, a trek that the New York Times compares to Cormac McCarthy's The Road and Charles Portis's True Grit. James Scott's new novel is called The Kept, and he joins us in the studio. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So wherever did you find this? A midwife that steals five children? I mean, had you come across, you know, often we hear from an author, well, I came across a yellowed clipping about a story of such and such. Did you know nothing? Had you come across
No, there was
story?
No, there's, so far as I know, luckily, there's no historical precedent that I really looked back at. It was just a matter of starting from a single image to me, which was that of Caleb wiping the snow from his sister's face.
But the sister had been shot outside the house.
Yes, Emma, his youngest sister. And then it was just asking a lot of questions about what had happened. And I quickly became interested in a lot of the sort of larger ideas that were behind it. And one of those being to me the idea of the difference between a mom and a mother. And that is what Elspeth struggles with.
Because while she is addicted to them as infants, she's not as interested in them as they get older.
No, once they gain some complexity, it's too hard for her. She loves this rush that she gets from them as a child when they need her so completely. And then once the questions get more complex, she doesn't know what to do with them any longer.
And of course, this storyline can progress because you plunk her and her feverishly religious husband down in rural upstate New York, Lake Erie side, where it's ferociously cold.
Yes.
He doesn't approve, but doesn't quite know what to do with this, but they're so isolated, there's no one else that really sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And what about New York State as a character here? Because it feels like a frontier story. It feels like it'd be set in the West. As they go look for the murderers, they end up in a town on Lake Erie, complete with a brothel and a, you know, it's a rough town.
Yes.
And it feels like it could be a cowboy story.
Yeah, I think I was influenced by Westerns and especially Southern Gothic literature, which I'd read and enjoyed very much as a teenager, and I still read it a lot and enjoy it now. And my grandparents were from and lived in the Syracuse area for most of their lives, and driving up there across these sort of vast expanses of open land, I'd never been to the South, and so these books that I'd read and loved, that was the only place I could conceive of them happening. That was all that I knew. There is something, too, about the quality of the sky, literally the actual physical landscape. When those storms gather over the lakes and they come in, the sky is just so oppressive. It's just this steely gray mass that really weighs down on you.
It's interesting. I read it over the Christmas holiday, and over in my mind, I kept hearing the hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the first graph. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And that, but that's, I mean, tell me more about the weather and that its role in the story.
Well, there's an isolation that's possible, I think, when the weather is that way. And this is a family that's isolated themselves purposely, but also the landscape has served to make that isolation easier and more complete. And you know, there's this idea of sort of shutting yourself in the winter and keeping this family sort of separate from everything else is much easier when you're completely surrounded by snow and there's nothing else you can do. There's really no place to go.
Yeah. So where did you do your research for this? Obviously, visiting grandparents helped because parts of upstate New York have not changed that much.
Yeah.
But did you research how people had to walk on foot, how people might have been killed by blocks of ice in ice houses?
Yeah, I did. I looked a lot into ice houses and pulling ice from the lake, and I think it is in some ways historically accurate. In other ways, I bent stuff in order to make it sort of suit the story. I don't really consider myself a writer of historical fiction in that the history isn't first and foremost to me. The story is first and foremost, so I don't feel quite as beholden to it. But I definitely did do a lot of research. I spoke with a midwife about some really gruesome scenes that occur later in the book, and that was difficult. I'd been sort of slogging through, you know, obstetric journals and histories of midwifery, and they were hard for me to get through.
Yeah.
But just talking to someone, she was able and very kind to put it into words that I could understand.
And we should explain that the ice house comes into play because that's where Elsbeth goes to work.
Yeah, that's where she finds her employment.
After she gets to this town where they're going to find these killers. And it's just horrific, hard, hard work, you know,
yes.
These huge blocks of ice. We're not going to give away the ending.
Okay.
But the question has been asked, how can you do this to a 12-year-old? This 12-year-old, he's seeking revenge. He's wrestling with who his mother is. He's who he is.
Yeah, and he's never experienced the world before. And his family, especially his father, Jorah, who's very religious, is a very binary person. Things are very black and white. And for Caleb, as he goes out and makes his way in the world, he's discovering that things are not quite that simple. And for him, the only thing that he has left is his mother, who he's never spent much time with. And to me, it's actually hopeful because a lot of the book is about the way that they are able to start to come together and the way that they're able to get to know each other and the way that they're able to get past some of the things that they've been forced to do.
Yeah. What about this overarching idea of revenge? As Tom Perata writes of your book, it starts out as a straightforward revenge narrative, then it deepens into something more mysterious, but it is about revenge. And there's no question. There's none, you know, the characters don't even question it, that it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a single-mindedness to it for them that gives them something to concentrate on. And I think in the wake of what has happened, a lot of times that's the easiest thing to do. And it's the only thing you can sort of, you know, I've lost a lot of people, sadly, that have been very close to me. And in those times, I often find myself figuring out the simplest thing that I can do. And so for them, just as any kind of salve, any kind of balm to what has happened, this is, they think it's their duty, but they also think that it might in some ways save some piece of themselves. You know, you do tend to sort of revert back to a level of simplicity that in other times in life you sort of can't find. So it's just a stripping away of everything else.
Well, it's also stripping away. It also speaks to that time, that place, stark leafless trees, binary, black and white landscapes, mm-hmm. and someone gets killed, someone has to pay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty simple equation, I guess. But then once the door is kicked open, there's a lot of complexity that then can barge through that same opening.
That's James Scott. His new book is The Kept. Thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me.